It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Well, Larry, we got a little rain. Here's hoping there's more in the cards. What have you been seeing out there?
About the same. We could certainly get a real soaker. We had some drizzle and rain and so forth as we got to about the 20th of May. But from that point on, we have gotten virtually nothing, which is about 2 weeks now. And this is supposed to be a rainy time of year. And I've seen it in the past. I've seen it how June be very dry. It makes a difference for the rest of the summer. So, yes, I agree with you. We could certainly get some more rain. But Mother Nature has different plans. We'll see what has happened. This is the first weekend now of June, and I want to look a little bit back at May and then into the coming month. If you look back at May, we ended up with an average temperature of a little bit less than normal, about 2 degrees less than normal. We had some chilly days there, but we also had some fairly warm. The hottest temperature for the month was 85, and that happened on two different days, on the 25th and the 29th. And the coolest was way back on the 1st, when we had 23 degrees. Overall precipitation, that is the statistic bothered me. How does this sound? 2 inches below normal for May. Ooh, yikes. And then if you look at the entire spring, which the Weather Service calls March, April, and May, once again, considerably less than normal. For a while there, we were above normal, but things had changed a little bit. And of course, if it changes one way, it might change the other way. Typical in May, we have an average temperature for the whole month of 52 degrees. When we get to June, that jumps up to 61 degrees. And it's not unusual at all to have some very hot days in June. We also usually have a lot of rain. The three things that really make June amazing are, number one, it's warm. Number two, it's wet. Typically our wettest month, up to 4.5 inches of rain. And then the third one is very long days. And you put those all together, I think the name given to June as being the growing month is a good name. We are now having sunrise. If you are up enough, you might have sunrise at 5:17. It is approaching the earliest sunrise of the whole year, which is 5:14, which starts a little over a week away, about June at 11. It starts the earliest sunrise of the whole year. And then we go through about 9 days where the sunrise every morning is 5:14. It starts getting later when we get to the summer solstice, and the summer solstice is June 21. On the other side, sunsets now are approaching 9 o'clock, and they will continue to get later even after the solstice. They continue to get later into early July, when then they start getting earlier. So we are at a transitional time right now with the sunrise and sunset and the length of the day. Yeah, the length of the days is the longest on June 21, the summer solstice. I think I mentioned last time, but it's worth repeating, it all depends on what we call the beginning of the seasons. Weather Service considers summer starting on June 1. I have my own definition of when spring ends and when the summer begins, and that is when the wildflowers out in the open outnumber those that are in the woods. That has not yet happened. However, it is happening. During a walk I took yesterday in the woods, I found 10 kinds of wildflowers still in bloom. Now, the spring wildflowers that many of us might think of, bloodroot and hepatica and trout lily, are all pretty much gone. But there are others that are shade tolerant that take their place. Flowers such as starflower, baneberry, wild lily of the valley, clintonia, also known as corn lily, sarsaparilla, Solomon's seal, rose twisted stalk, bunchberry. These are all in bloom right now, and they tolerate the shade really well. Then there are those that are out in the open that have just started to bloom in the last couple of days. I saw the first daisy in bloom. I saw the first lupines. I saw the first clovers. And for the first yarrow, all of these will quickly start blooming out in the open. And it gets very big and very bright and colorful as we get further along into June. Then there are those that will kind of go between the two. They will handle the shade and they'll continue to bloom further into the month. And among these are the large flower trilliums. I passed the place yesterday where even with the shade, the large flower trilliums were still blooming very well. Same thing would true with columbine. Columbine will grow in the woods along some trails that I walk, but it will also grow out in the open. The lady slippers, during my walks, I go by growth of yellow lady slippers, and they're in bloom right now, even though there is shade. The pink lady slipper, same thing, in bloom right now, even though there is shade. So that's kind of a hanging on between the summer, spring and summer. Besides that, there is just a luscious growth, even though we haven't gotten a lot of rain, of ferns. They're just spectacular in the woods. I suggest to get out and take a look. There's quite a variety of them. You can find about 10 kinds, several of which that will grow tall. I went by a patch just yesterday that were up to my hip, and it's amazing because just that all happened within the past month. But one thing that's missing, because we haven't had much precipitation, we don't see the mushrooms and such. The longer days have pretty much made for all the migration that we saw during May. May is the month of migration. There are some late migrants still passing through. I saw this week, I saw the first black-billed cuckoo of the season. They're always a late migrant. And then there is some of the flycatchers that are late to arrive. But for the most part, May is the migrating month. June is when those migrants, if they're going to stay here, they settle down to have their nesting. And during the time of the nesting, they need to have a territory where they can live and have enough food and so forth to carry on their existence. This territory needs to be defended, and that's why they sing. And so the bird songs that we hear, this is the time of year we hear them. The Breeding Bird Survey, which is done every year in June, and I did it for many years, is built on the fact that the birds will sing where they nest. And so what we used to do, we would drive down the road, and in the course of about 3.5 to 4 hours, we would start half hour before sunrise and continue until we finished the whole route, a 25-mile route where we stopped every half mile and just listened for 3 minutes of the birds that were singing, and we recorded them. The idea is that these birds sing, tell us that they're nesting there, so that's why it's called a breeding bird survey. Well, that's always done in June, and it's pretty good. It's a good way to take a look at how many kinds of birds are living here, not just singing, not just passing through, but actually living here. Once they have the nest successful and the babies started to rise, we get to July, and I always refer to July as being the month of fledglings. Well, June, besides being the month of nestling for birds, is also the month of dragonflies. And during these last 2 days, I have gone down to the lake and looked along the shore of the lake and seen a lot of the shed skin from the dragonflies. What's going on there is they live underwater as immatures. When it comes time to grow up, they will climb out from the water, usually at night, though I did see some in the daytime, usually at night, and they will climb up on a nearby plant along the shore, and they will skin of their body will split down the back, and out will pull the adult form of the dragonfly with all big four wings. And so it's an interesting thing to watch, and it's an interesting thing to give you an idea on how many there are. The dragonfly that I find most common at this time is called the chalk-fronted corporal. It's called that because of the white markings on the body, and it is about a medium-sized dragonfly. A lot of times after they leave the water, they go out searching for food, but they also go out searching for a place where they can just sit in the sun and bask. And so it's not unusual if you go down to a dock to see a bunch of dragonflies hanging around there. In addition to that, there have been a lot of movement of butterflies. I always like to think of June being the month of dragonflies and July being the month of butterflies. But I had an interesting experience this week on May 31st. I saw a couple of monarchs. On June 1, the next day, I saw the tiger swallowtail. Those are two of our bigger butterflies, and both of the two will remain very active now for a while and much of the summer. This is also a time we start seeing other kinds of butterflies. There is a type of butterflies called fritillary, which is orange with a lot of black markings on its body. And they are quite common, and there's quite several species of them. Well, I saw the first of the fritillaries this week, and then there's the white ones, the cabbages, the butterflies, and the yellow ones, the sulfurs. They are all been active as well. This is also the time when we start seeing, or we may see, the big giant moths that live here, Luna moth, Cecropia, Polyphemus, Promethea. All of these are large moths that live here, and they are mostly active at night. And speaking of active at night, if we haven't yet seen them, but I expect soon to see them, are the fireflies. And I always see the first fireflies of the season up in the trees, not necessarily along in the grasses, but that comes a little bit later. And there is, this is going to sound a little weird, but this is the beginning of spit season. Now, what I mean by that is if you look at a lot of the plants, I found it this morning on five different kinds of plants. If you look at a lot of plants at this time, you'll see what looks like a little bit of spit on the stem. What's going on there is that is the home of a baby insect. And the baby will grow up surrounded by the foam of the spit, which is actually foam made by the sap of the plant. And it will grow up inside that. And the critter that does this is known as a spittle bug. And with a little bit of searching, you'll see them. And if you're a gardener or mowing lawns, you will probably see them as well. The turtles come up on land in June to lay their eggs. Meanwhile, they are an aquatic animal that comes up on land to lay its eggs. And then meanwhile, there is a terrestrial animal, the gray tree frogs. They turn around and they go back to water to lay their eggs. I visited a pond one day this week and listened to them calling after dark. We have a lot of trees still in blossom. It's undergone a lot of change. You know, the Juneberries and the plum and the pin cherries that bloomed earlier are all done now. And then this week we had just an abundance of choke cherries in bloom. And the choke cherries are still out there, but they seem to be going, and they seem to be moving on to the next phase. Mountain ash and various kind of viburnums will all be blooming soon. And these are all trees. Almost all of them are kind of small trees. Apples still in bloom, crab apples in bloom, especially the pink flowering crab. They're just gorgeous. Lilac still in bloom. We have a lot of things going on. And it's June, even if we're not getting a lot of rain, is living up to its name of being the growing month. And a little bit of more rain or a lot more rain would make quite a difference. So we'll see what happens. All right. Anyway, take care and enjoy the new month. Have a good one.
Thanks very much, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.